Thanks, Ben, very much indeed. It would be helpful if you can keep Psalm 118 open in front of you, and obviously if you're listening on the tape, do please read Psalm 118 at this point. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, thank you so much for your word to us, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher as we study together. Father, please help us to understand your word, help us to be able to interpret it, help us, Father, to see how it applies to us, because we want to be those who grow in our knowledge of you in this coming year. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is the first Sunday of 2019. It's a new year. And we have our year verse that we've already read, and I've taken it from Psalm 118, the first verse and the last verse of Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And New Year, of course, is a great time for looking back and looking forward. We look back to what happened in 2018, and we look forward to what is going to happen in 2019. And I guess that when we look back, that we're filled with thankfulness that we survived the year. Some things were unexpected, some things were good, some things were bad. And just looking back and thinking, well, where was I on the 1st of January 2018, and what had happened? How much of that did I know was going to happen? And it reminds us that we really don't know what's going to happen in the future at all. So what will 2019 hold for us? We simply don't know. 79 years ago, King George VI gave his Christmas message in December of 1939, and he didn't know what the future held. We knew, it's very easy for us to look back and say, well, they all knew in December 1939 that England was going to win the war, or the Allies were going to win. They didn't. They had absolutely no idea what the future would hold. The country was at war with Germany. The memories of World War I were still very strong. It was a dreadful moment of utter dependence, really. And in exactly the same way as Francis and Eric were saying, in their situation back in Benin or in Ghana or in other parts of Africa, you absolutely have to depend on God because there is no other help. In exactly the same way, George VI was saying there is no other help. And he quoted part of a poem by a woman who, she was a sort of part-time poet, not famous for anything else, but made famous by the fact that part of this poem, written by this woman, Minnie Haskins, King George VI quoted as part of his Christmas address in December 1939. And he said this, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better, that shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." And that's still the case, isn't it? That we simply don't know what 2019 is going to hold for us. And the advice of the poet is put your hand in the hand of God. Trust him. And the reason that we can trust him is because of the character of God. Come back and look again, either at your yellow year verse or at the words of the scriptures themselves. And let's just see what this verse is telling us to do. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The action is to give thanks. It is to be full of praise and thankfulness to God all the time. And it is really important that we do that, because the way that we defeat the enemy and his purposes in our lives is by being full of praise. Because if the enemy throws all sorts of horrible stuff at us in one form or another and we go, then it just reinforces it. If we are determined to say, no, I always have reason to praise, reason to give thanks, I will be obedient to this command to give thanks to the Lord, then that changes the whole spiritual dynamic. And that's why we had things like the chorus today, or the song, "I Sign Your Cross Over Me," because it's an attitude that I am determined to say, I'm going to live under the power of the cross. The cross of Christ is going to be my protection, my shield, my safety as I go forward, for all of us, as we go forward into 2019. But the verse itself gives us other reasons. The action, that we give thanks, we're full of praise. But the act, the reason is that God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And we affirm that, of course, by faith. We know that God is good because he's revealed himself. And in the way that he has revealed himself and the things that he has done, the idea of creator, the idea of sending the Lord Jesus, all of those things demonstrate that God is good, and they demonstrate his love. And the thing about his love, the adjective that's used to describe it, is steadfast. Something on which you absolutely can rely. It is unchanging and strong. One of the things that the Psalms again and again talk about God as being a rock, as a place of refuge, as a strong tower. And we need to see that. We can't see him, and so we have a tendency to think, well, he's not there, or he's just the God of the gaps, or we turn to him, we try and sort everything out at first, and then we come to God in the end in desperation. And in a sense, the African story is like that, isn't it? I mean, I'm not sure whether there's water in the tap, and so I'm going to have to pray that there will be water in the tap. Well, much better to get into the habit of praying first, so that prayer becomes a first action, not a last resort. And we need to be understanding the character of God. He is good, and he loves us. Remember that we've quoted a number of times over the Christmas period the famous verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the context of Psalm 118 is that it was a festival psalm. I mean, the psalms are very much made to speak and to sing and to be part of an activity. They are the prayer book and the song book for the people of God. And this psalm is associated particularly with Passover. Remember the Passover, the annual celebration that the angel of death had passed over the homes of the Israelites in Egypt. As the angel of death was moving through and the eldest son was going to be killed in every household, where there was not the blood of a sacrificed lamb over the doorpost and lintel of the door of the house. And the angel of death passed over the ones where the blood. Something had to die. The animal had to die as a sacrifice and a substitute for the eldest son. And that's the festival that they're going to be remembering. And you have all the commentators writing about this psalm say it's quite confused in its structure. But the idea is that you've probably got someone leading the singing, a cantor. And you've got the congregation coming up towards the temple. And it would be that the cantor would say something like, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And then he would wave his hand towards the house of Israel and say, "Let Israel say," and they sing back, "His steadfast love endures forever." "Let the house of Aaron say," and they sing back, "His steadfast love endures forever." And then he says to everybody, "Those who fear the Lord, his steadfast love endures forever." So just as we quite often do versicles and responses, we take the psalms and the leader says something and we sing back what's said in bold. It's the same sort of idea that it would be a way of engaging everybody in this festival, in this time of praise and thanksgiving. But what's so important to learn and be reminded of from this psalm is that the fact that the Lord is there and he is good does not mean that his people all the time have an easy life. Look again at verse 5. "Out of my distress I called on the Lord." Or look at verse 10. "All nations surrounded me." verse 12, they surrounded me like bees, they blazed like a fire of thorns. He's clearly had a time that was difficult, a time when he was just full of distress, that he was fearing others. Verse 6, the implication is clearly that he is tempted to fear because of the people all around. He's got people around, verse 7, who hate him. He's surrounded on every side, verse 11. The situation of the psalmist, the situation of probably a sort of king figure who's taking the next stage of the psalm in this festival, is just speaking about times of distress, but of God's faithfulness. His action, in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. The Lord helped me. So what it's saying is that in his distress, he calls on the Lord. So part of the thankfulness that were commanded in verse 1 and in verse 29, the last verse, is to take the action of calling on the Lord. It's just as we're thinking on Wednesday of having our Nehemiah prayer, that concept of weeping before the Lord because the state of the church is so ineffective, really, in that whole area of the raising kids and youth work and all the issues that are facing this country and a lot of the Western world. The church is not really able to do anything, and we need to be coming before the Lord together and calling on him in our distress about that situation. And what the psalmist is doing right the way through is remembering the Lord's victory. And the remembering of the Lord's victory in the past is giving him confidence for the future. And he quotes the song of Moses. When Moses had gone through the Red Sea, he sang a great song. And verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation." Is entirely a quote from Exodus 15 and verse 2. So you've got this idea of a fantastic procession coming into the temple, celebrating Passover, celebrating the Lord's victory, understanding that the experience of the people of God is often quite hard, and yet he's still remembering that the Lord has overcome. And then you come to the famous verses that are famous to us, 22 to 26, because they're quoted so much in the New Testament. And it's a shout coming that it was shouted towards the Lord Jesus as he was journeying down into Jerusalem, riding in on a donkey, that extraordinary action. Nobody rides into Jerusalem. They walk in as pilgrims. But he rode in, and the people around him were shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Verse 26 of this psalm. They were understanding that here is one coming, and they were saying, "He's the one coming in the name of the Lord." And then Jesus goes on, and he's teaching in the temple in that next week after his triumphal entry. And one of the things that he does is to tell the story of the wicked tenants. They were people who were given a vineyard, and every time anybody came and said, on behalf of the landlord, and said, "Look, we need some of the produce, we need some rent for the vineyard," they killed them, or they kicked them out, or they punished them, or they threw them out, or whatever. And the question is asked, what will happen? Ultimately, even though the owner of the vineyard has sent his son, who was killed, what will happen? He'll bring an army in, and he'll throw the tenants out. And the chief priests and the scribes understood that he was talking about them. And Jesus quoted this psalm back to them: "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." That Jesus himself is claiming to be a fulfillment of this particular passage. Here we are coming up to Passover. Jesus was sacrificed at Passover time, all of the significance of a substitute and a sacrifice in order that guilty people can go free. And it's the one that the elders and the chief priests are rejecting who is the one that is the Lord's choice to become the heart of the whole sacrifice and system. So what we are seeing is an amazing psalm. And we are to be those who understand that for us, far more than for the people of the Old Testament coming into the temple, we are the inheritors of the salvation Jesus won for us on the cross. He was rejected, he was crucified, he was the sinless one, sacrificed for the guilty, so that we can be declared righteous. And so when in the middle of the psalm we have things like verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it." Of course, it's speaking partly of opening the gates into the temple so that the procession of people can come in. But it's also saying that we, by grace, because of what Jesus has done for us, can be declared righteous and can now ourselves, therefore, approach God, come into the place where there is the one who is holy, holy, holy. And so, therefore, there is always reason for us to be able to give thanks to the Lord, because our salvation is secured. It was secured on the cross, demonstrated for all the world to see by the resurrection. Jesus died as the one who was rejected, but has become the chief cornerstone, the one who brings salvation. And that is always the basis for us to be full of praise, for us to be full of thanks, because God is good to us. Whatever our immediate circumstances, we are coming to the Lord because he is good and because he is faithful and his love is steadfast. The real defeat of the enemy is to praise. It's just to keep on saying, "I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord Jesus no matter what." And that is the thing that we need to be taking forward into 2019. It's a very familiar verse, but something that we're just saying, we're going to give thanks. Give thanks for everything. I have a friend who had a stroke about just over a year ago, and she was talking to me the other day, and she said she'd taken something like a little sort of jam jar, and every time she saw the hand of the Lord in some sort of blessing, she put a penny or a small coin into the jam jar. And that was only sort of since the stroke had happened. And so every time she was making progress, every time there was significant improvement, every time that she was, another coin went back in the jam jar. And she was saying, that jam jar's full. Because it's all a question. She could go, "Oh, why have I had a stroke? It's so miserable. It's so awful. Why did it happen to me?" All of that response. That it's very human to feel like that. But she, as a Christian woman, was determined to say, "No, I am going to give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to say, look at all that the Lord has done for me." And that in itself, looking at that jam jar full of those coins, was in itself a place of great blessing and encouragement for her. She could remember all that the Lord had done on her behalf. So whatever it is that 2019 is going to hold, whether it's things that are going to scare us and things that are difficult, or whether it's going to be things that are wonderful that was yet we don't know, but it's going to be terrific and exciting that we will see. The response for us as Christian people, those who have been saved through what Christ has done, is to give thanks. Because the character of our God is that he is good and that his steadfast love endures forever. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness and your love. Thank you that at the heart of our universe is someone who is good, not capricious, not malevolent, but good. Father, thank you that you have demonstrated your love by giving the Lord Jesus for us. And we pray that this year, St. Stephen's may be characterized by thankfulness and by praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.